Greetings. Welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio. I'm your host, James Gilliland, and we have a great show tonight. We've got Alfred Weber here to kind of make sense out of some of the things going on in the world in which we live. He's with exopolitics.com, and if you want to check out what's the latest happenings on his website, check that out as well. I know Alfred's been on a busy schedule, I guess, Argentina and going to Mexico next, and we want to talk about that, and we have a few other topics we want to talk about. Hopefully we can talk about this last missile launch and a few other things that these China subs surfacing in the middle of other affairs. So anyway, Alfred, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm right here, and I'm very happy to be here.
Great. And, you know, I also wanted to say that you've always been a guest here at the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation conferences, which you've done an incredible job of bringing some amazing information out with a standing ovation each time.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I feel so privileged to be able to participate in the conference, because that's a conference at which we get to interact directly with other intelligent civilizations on an intention experiment basis, and that's something that's very rare.
Now, you were at the last conference when we did the intention experiment, and I don't know how many people there. Some people were saying about 200 people participated in it. I'm not sure. I didn't do a head count. But according to the chairs that were circled up, and they were full with people standing next to them. But, you know, basically after that intention experiment and the ship that flew over the ranch right after the experiment, you were there as one of the many witnesses.
Yes. It's just amazing. We had an intention experiment inside the conference hall based on, I think it's a very advanced form of meditation. As I recall, it's a laughter meditation, which of course brings out all of the higher dimensional, sort of opens up portals for us. And it was after that that a craft flew over the conference hall and was videotaped and was photographed, and a number of people pointed that out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I was right there, and
we had John Riley, who's a Lockheed engineer, and Brooks Agnew, a geophysicist, and quite a few other highly educated people standing out there with their cameras and video cameras filming this event.
Yeah, and the prior night was a very interesting night, because we were out on what we call the Field of Dreams, and there were about 200 people out there as well. There was a field generator out there also. Perhaps you can describe that field generator better than I can, James.
Well, it looked like a giant R2-D2 to me anyway, but...
Yeah.
And I guess it sends out a really high-frequency charge that goes out and supposedly opens up gates, like dimensional gates. And that was John Riley's technology. We're out there playing with that, and that drew in the ships as well.
Yeah, in fact, I was maybe about 25 people to the left of that particular device, and I remember looking over to my left, and there was a craft flying along close to the horizon, very close to the circle, which then sort of ambled along really slowly, and then sort of circled around and stopped on the other side of the circle, right in front of where I was. And I recall hearing in my mind telepathically at that point something like, well, it looks like we might be going up. You might be going up. into the craft now, something like that, you know? So it was really impacting and alerting, and I was ready to go, but, you know, so we were just kind of there. And the next day, I asked a number of people out in front of the conference hall, five or six people, and each of them said that they had heard the same thing in their mind. And I believe you and I talked about it, and I believe you said that you had heard the same words in your mind also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, people had kind of a strange feeling that a lot more happened than they remembered, you know, so it's...
Yeah, because...
Who knows what happened.
With the phenomenon of missing time, we could have all had a mass abduction. I don't know. Or I don't like that particular word, because we were involved in an intention experiment then, so it's not an abduction. Let's say we would have had a mass mutual visitation.
Exactly. I like that a lot better. You know, I have a little tidbit for you here that just happened. You'll like this one. Basically, a very large golden ship flew over, came in from the northwest and flew over towards the southeast and flew right over the house last night. And we actually got it on film, and there was a jet chasing this object, and it had all
wow.
the lights flashing. You know, it had the strobe on it, the lights, and you know, you could hear the engine roar, and it was coming. It went behind this tree and was coming right towards up towards the ship, and it disappeared. It is totally gone. No sound, no lights, nothing. And I thought, well, maybe it went into like combat mode, shut its lights off, but there was no sound whatsoever. And
you mean,
the story even goes further. You know, they might be missing a plane. I don't know.
Right.
So today
it would be very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, today, three black, very sleek, high-tech jets came over. No markings, nothing on them at all. They flew right over the house here, turned sideways with their cockpits aiming towards us so we could see them very clearly. Looking at us, and then they circled and turned and then came back again for a second time, and we grabbed our cameras and actually filmed them, and we're having other people look at these planes to see, you know, what kind of a jet they are, but they looked, you know, extremely modern. I don't know exactly what type, but we'll find out. And they definitely did a flyover and did a buzz and, you know, and made it very clear. So, you know, I'm going on record right now. If we disappear here, you know, you'll know where we went. But I doubt if that's going to happen, because then they'd have to admit that UFOs are here and they're real and everything else. But we're definitely getting the buzz right now with these look like F somethings. I don't know what they are. They're extremely advanced.
Well, now that's a new development, James. And because
is.
I don't recall you saying that for about 10 years.
No, they haven't done this in a long time. And now, and what's interesting, too, is right after they did that, the Field of Dreams, which we usually stand in, lit up. There was a huge light. Something just lit the whole field up just for temporarily for a second, and then there was nothing there. There wasn't anything there. We didn't really see a ship or anything, but... We saw an extremely bright light the whole field up with nothing there. So definitely they're after something, they're onto something, and we got the footage of the big golden ship going over, and, you know, you can hear everybody comment on the jet saying, where did it go? You know, where did that jet go that was chasing the ship? And it vanished both visibly, all of its lights went off, and there's no sound. It just disappeared, and it was coming sideways, right? It was coming towards us and kind of along the side. It should have gotten louder.
Well, maybe if in fact that jet was taken up into some place, some dimension or some place that is beyond its power to control – well, maybe the powers behind all those U.S. Air Force jets are kind of recalibrating right now.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is such a new development because for the last several years, I know that you've been commenting that there have been scientists from the alphabet agencies, there have been engineers from Boeing, there have been other individuals from science organizations who have come and have taken the enlightened approach of attempting to understand. And the days of U.S. Air Force intrusion and interception, along with black helicopters and other types of surveillance, seem to have been left behind. But this is the first mention that I've heard in a long time, maybe even 8 to 10 years, of the resumption of intervention, intrusion, and surveillance by U.S. Air Force advanced aircraft.
Well, they have no markings on them. There's not one marking on these jets. And I mean, you can actually see the pilots in the jets looking down. That's how close they were. So definitely, I don't know who these guys are, but who knows? Maybe they have a similar interest as we do in UFOs, and they're trying to find out themselves.
Oh, so did you get kind of a neutral feeling from them, or did you get more of an aggressive feeling toward the jets, or what?
You know, my feeling is they're trying to figure it out. That's just my feeling.
Oh.
They're trying to figure out what's going on. And from my understanding is that even on the highest levels, they don't know. They don't have the big picture. They have some of the little picture, you know, and they know about the grays and reptilian or some low-level stuff. But they really don't have the big picture down, and I think they're trying to figure it out like everybody else. But I don't know. I didn't feel any threat from it. I didn't feel – other people felt some really weird energy around it, you know, personally. But, you know, I never really do feel – I just start sending them bliss bombs, you know, so I don't really feel
sure
what's going on their end. But definitely I did feel like I felt a very, very strong interest in the ranch and the way they operated. They were looking down on the building, and they definitely knew what was going on.
Wow. Very interesting. Well, this kind of brings to mind where I've been over the last 10 days, if I could share with you and your listeners some of that, because it's a place that I would say is the South American counterpart to the Iseti Ranch in Mount Adams.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. I was invited to speak at two separate conferences in Argentina, and one was at about an 8-hour drive in from Buenos Aires, which is on the eastern coast, in the state of Cordoba, the province of Cordoba, and it's a mountain. It's called Mount Uritorco, and that's the equivalent to Mount Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And they have set up there our friends who have been running, have been there for 25 years. They established the CIO, CO, Center for the Investigation of OVNIs. In Spanish, it's UFOs is OVNI.
Uh-huh.
And they have a film, a video cam running continuously on the mountain, and they record at least 3 UFOs coming in and out of the mountain per day.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of amazing. We were, and the legend is that there is an underground city under the mountain called Erks, E-R-K-S, that is kind of a, I would call it the equivalent to, you know, one of those hub airports like Dallas-Fort Worth Airport.
Oh, yeah.
It's an extraterrestrial hub airport, portal, interdimensional portal under there, according to the local researchers. And so they have a conference there every year. This year was the 13th conference, much in the same way as the SETI conference by Mount Adams, with the following exception. And this is where I think a cultural exchange comes in very handy, because the concept of intention experiment is just now only reaching Argentina. In other words, they just sit there with their motion picture cameras and just wait for a long time rather than getting together in a group with music and chants and doing the intention experiment. So we were able to bring the evidence and the documentation from all of the photographs of this year's and recent ESETI conferences to South America, to these participants, and to urge them to start doing the intention experiments.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah. So I thought that that was very interesting. Now, a couple of other kind of cultural notes, which I think people will find very interesting. Down there, instead of taking a plane to go to Buenos Aires, you get on these buses, like public buses, and say they're almost like what we call the red eye in airline terms. You'll board your bus at maybe 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. and it'll get in the following morning into Buenos Aires or vice versa. Now, these buses have berths, and they have stewardesses, and they serve you meals, which is incredible. However, the movies that are shown in the buses are UFO movies.
That's awesome.
It's like... one of the movies that we were watching is by this American speaker and thinker called something. Right now I'm blocking on his name, but his Melchizedek. Are you familiar with him?
Yes.
Yeah. And so instead of watching, you know, some Hollywood movie, you know, while you're driving along as you would in a normal airplane in North America, you're watching a movie, you're watching a documentary by Melchizedek talking about 2012 extraterrestrials and UFOs, and this is on a public bus. Isn't that amazing?
Is that Drumvalo, Melchizedek?
Yeah. Drumvalo Melchizedek's documentaries are shown on public transportation down there.
Well, I have to send them some Contact Has Begun videos and some other ones and see what they...
Yeah,
I could send them your talk as well.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It's just, it is astounding. And while I was down there in the, after the talk I gave in the Capitol, there was a representative of the National Congress there, and the day after my first talk, I got a tour of the Argentinian Senate, a private special tour of the Argentinian Senate and of the House of Representatives, because this guy who's part of the Argentinian Congress liked it so much. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. It's nice to know other countries are going forward. I know they always have been, especially the South American countries have always been on the forefront of ufology, and they don't see it as a major threat or anything else, and they have no problem, you know, printing it front page news and telling it like it is, not giggling and making fun of it afterwards.
Now, also, just to let you know, day after tomorrow, Monday, I'm taking off for a week, November 15th to 19th, to Colima, Mexico, where the University of Colima has asked me to go down for a week of activities down there. We'll be inaugurating Exopolitics Mexico, and right. I'll be delivering a lecture on exopolitics in the large university auditorium sponsored by the university science faculty. This is the first time in the history of the planet. And not only that, they just sent me my schedule today. On Wednesday, I'm going to be speaking to the teachers' union for secondary and university education. This is the union that represents high school and university teachers
mm-hmm.
on how to form a curriculum to teach people about exopolitics, in other words, intelligent civilizations in the multiverse. This
oh,
is
yeah.
amazing stuff.
You know, that we had a little bit of a breakthrough here locally. We had the middle school and the high school allowed me to come and do a presentation there, which was
amazing. Oh, that's
amazing,
amazing thing.
Yeah, and all the kids drew pictures afterwards, the amazing art of UFOs and contacts and things like that, and we're making statements
that
were blowing your
mind.
And, we had that happen. And then I've had one, the university over in Ashland there, I spoke there once, and that's about it as far as getting it into school systems. It's pretty much locked down everywhere else.
That is such good news.
Yeah, that was quite a while ago, though. It hasn't had anything since then. I thought I was going to get a real backlash from parents or something, and nothing.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get one negative response.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm just wondering whether or not the U.S. Air Force, those planes, that you know, those kind of unmarked planes
uh-huh.
and the golden UFO, has anything to do with the October 13th UFO sightings over New York that were predicted by Stan Fulham, where he
mm-hmm.
said that they were the Pleiadians and
mm-hmm.
and others that I had predicted that they would be in the airspace over New York City on October 13th. Do you think it might have anything to do with that?
Definitely, yeah. They are Pleiadian ships, these giant gold ones that we're seeing. But I know one thing that, you know, they have shown up everywhere, and they tried to discount that the New York sightings as weather balloons. And I know one of the problems they came up against is that the woman's birthday party didn't start till 11, and I don't think they released the balloons till far after that, after the party was over, and the ships appeared at 9 o'clock. So they tried to just dismiss it all as balloons, you know, but they're, you know, a few hours off on that one.
Yeah. And what is very interesting is that, and in fact, I wanted to get your evaluation of this because I read Stanley Fulham, he's a Canadian ex-NORAD officer who lives in Winnipeg and has for the last 10 years been communicating with the what he calls the Council of Eight, it's the Pleiadians mm-hmm. and the Alpha Centaurians and the Syrians and others who supposedly mm-hmm. take an interest in our environment and our the welfare of our planet. And according to him, the reason why the Pleiadians first predicted and then fulfilled the October 13th sighting over New York is that they've determined that the Earth's environment is going to collapse unless there's an intervention by their technology that is beyond human ability to forestall a collapse of the environment now. Have you heard anything along similar lines at all, or?
Yes, they've always been deeply concerned with our evolutionary process and where we're going, and especially our aggressive warring ways and where that's taking us. And so they've been doing all they can to divert that, you know, into a non-aggressive, peaceful way where we live in harmony with each other and the planet. That's always been their message, you know, for the past 35 years. But it seems now that they're coming in very strong and the gloves are taken off and they are going to start intervening. And I asked about that, you know, with my own telepathic connections. And they basically what they said is because Atlantis and Lemuria were plating colonies and they have a very strong vested interest in the Earth and the genetics here. They have probably more of a vested interest than any of the other ones that they have been, in a way, put in charge. They said the scepter's been passed and that they're coming in now to kind of clean up a lot of the problems that we've had as far as interference by other beings, you know, in our evolutionary process and helping us to release the past. And they're working on a very high level, you know, through consciousness and energy and inspiration to do this work. And basically they're saying that the grid of tyranny, that old, you know, unbridled greed program, everything else you're seeing is being pushed right up to the surface for everybody to see. And it's on its way out. And there's energetic reasons behind that. Incredible influx of energy coming into the Earth and an evolutionary process we're on right now too as well that is it's kind of game over for these guys, and they're going to have a little bit further of a run, but it's, you know, the karma is going to be accelerated, time is going to be accelerated, the uncovering of their deeds is going to be everything is going to accelerate so fast that they are their own worst enemies. And They talked about the energies, and they say love heals. It doesn't, it's not attacking these people or anything else. It heals, but that healing process can get ugly, you know, for those who resist it, you might say.
Right. One of the things that apparently the beings communicating with Stan Fulham is talking about is that in the period, say, from now, 2010 to 2014 or 15, when this intervention to clean our environment might have to take place, it's all very elastic, depending on how humanity wakes up, is that there may be Earth changes. And I know that's something that you have talked about, and is that something that you're still hearing about Earth changes?
Definitely. You know, it's a lot of people I know that are visionaries are still having those visions, and they are seeing, and these volcanoes are still going off, and we're still having these quakes and tsunamis. So my understanding is that they're still on the books. It's still escalating exponentially, and we're going to need all the help we can get, any kind of divine intervention we can get to mitigate some of these energies. And I know they have some extreme technology that can help us out quite a bit, but I also know that they realize, too, that some of these things have to happen. It's part of the Earth's healing process, and they're not going to stand in the way of her process and her evolutionary process. So They keep talking about how we need to listen to the land, listen to our mother, you know, Mother Earth. We need to make our own personal God, Spirit, Creator connection and start living in harmony with each other. And there are places that they're saying that will be preserved, you know, and protected through these changes. But, you know, we really need to rise to the occasion. We can't just give it lip service, you know, and think that everything's going to be done for us. We have to do our part, you know, in the process.
Right. Right. Just going along that line, I had come to a conclusion that there were almost two parallel timelines. one a catastrophic timeline and the other a positive timeline, and that we have the free will to choose. These are almost like parallel dimensions, and that if one identified with, you know, the sort of the war and the conflict vibration, well, that would be going into the reality of catastrophe. And if one identifies with a higher, more refined, more evolved timeline, that's actually another parallel reality unto itself, and that it's not necessary to go through all of those catastrophes. So that even in our earthly reality now, there may be sort of a separation or different parallel worlds that humanity itself is separating itself into. Is that something that you believe there's some reality to, or?
I definitely think so. You know, we're all creating our own realities down here. You know, but the Earth has her reality, and she's doing her thing, and it's interesting how it's all going to turn out in the end. I know there are people that have moved to higher ground, you might say, and they're living in harmony with each other and the planet, and they're really focusing on brother sister love and living, you know, according to universal principles necessary for a healthy society and environment, and those people, you know, hopefully are going to be in the right position when things go down, and everything will be fine for them. And I know there's other people that are just continuing with the greed and the reckless greed and separation game and the war and aggression, and they're capitalizing on these programs and the war and disease profiteers. You know, and these guys, you know, whoever's tied to the beast, depending on how tied you are to that beast when it falls, depends on your karmic, you know, reaction or whatever. So I think everybody's going to have their lessons. They're all eternal souls. They're going to have their lessons and experience what they need to experience. And the polarities are shifting right now. You might say those who are taking the upward spiral that want to live in harmony with each other and the planet are going to take that spiral, and others that want to take the downward spiral will take that one. And you know, there may be some people beamed up here and there, but again, we have to be aligned with that frequency if we're going to be beamed up, because we can't really be on the ships and be in the presence of these extremely high vibrational beings without doing our homework, you might say. So I would say, you know, it's a possibility. Both ends are possibilities. There's so many different realities that are going to unfold. And you know, one thing I can give 100% prophecy on is that there's going to be change.
Yeah.
And a lot of it. I'm not exactly sure how each person is going to experience that change.
Right. Well, I just found it these last couple of weeks down in Argentina, and now going down to Mexico, where that nation, I mean, this university and these teachers' unions are really serious about wanting to be trained in extraterrestrial issues and wanting to be able to educate their students that way and open to all of this information. So it seems like there's a new era, or there's a new opening that's actually happening on the planet. Of course, down in Argentina, we did run into interference, and there was a major media person who was a commentator on CNN in Spanish who had six programs a week on Univision, which is the largest Hispanic radio network in the world, and he infiltrated himself into both our conferences, And at the second conference, he performed two hypnotic regressions on two women and then sexually assaulted both of them. And
wow.
They went to the police, and I was a corroborating witness, so I didn't even get to deliver my lecture at the second conference, and I spent 48 hours, you know, giving depositions to the district attorney. But we managed to put away this guy who had really been using black magic on all of the radio networks in the Hispanic world, which I found to be kind of amazing. I had no idea that was one of the agendas I was going to be called in on when I went down there. It's a bit wild and woolly down in South America.
Yeah, there's all kinds of intentions going on out there. And, you know, I've seen that here, too. It's amazing, you know, some of the, you know, like Robert Salas, you know, I've met him, you know, amazing guy. You know, he was there when the missile silos were all shut down by the UFOs. And he was telling me some of the things that he's up against. And the very guys that people thought would be gung-ho on this, here's the guy with the credentials, the experience, cream of the crop, finger on the nuclear button, you know, basically they don't put people like in positions like that that are not of the highest integrity or trustworthy and, you know, of mental stability. And he was telling me some of the things that he'd had to go up against, you know, in with a couple of radio stations. And he wouldn't tell me who they were, but I know who they are because I've run up against these guys as well. But they are total disinformation agents and just there to try to ridicule and dismiss and discredit.
Right.
Exactly. But, it seems to be everywhere, you know, these dark forces and people that have sold their soul and they don't even know what integrity is anymore, or what, you know, about how standing up for truth or things like that have infiltrated almost every aspect of the media and even ufology as well.
Oh, sure. So I think in this person, I would call it breaking himself against the law. That was a major sort of gatekeeper in Hispanic world ufology that, you know, hit his wall because he can no longer broadcast his version of UFO black magic 6 days a week and get on CNN and do his stuff there.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, speaking of missiles, have you seen that missile that was launched off the coast of California?
Yeah, you know, I was just looking at the news stories. It happened while I was down in South America, so I didn't have a chance to focus on it because our internet connection down there was kind of sketchy.
Okay.
And I'm just saying, looking at an article here, it says UFO craft during the California missile mystery. The media are now editing out the UFO craft from the original video footage. So perhaps you know more about it than I do. Terms of the facts.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of different clips, and some people see that craft as a helicopter. Some people, it looks like a mothership. It has all the qualities of the motherships that I've seen. It's a long cylinder with light at one end and a strobe in the middle, which I've seen with motherships. But if you look real closely, you can see some other, could be a rotor spinning. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it is, but, you know, that's what some people are saying. And it does need some in-depth analysis on it. But, you know, there's another event that happened before that where a submarine from China actually surfaced right in the middle of the major war games going on undetected, you know, right next to one of our biggest aircraft carriers. So, I mean, that was a real, you know, slap in the face to what's happening. And, you know, and we're also having these other events going on, you know, with the G20 summit, and they're not really happy with the economy and what we've done with it and all of their money, you might say. So, you know, who knows? There might have been a missile shot off by them, you know, stretching their muscles a little bit, saying, hey, look, you know, we're here. We can reach out and touch you. Or, you know, it could have been a UFO intervening on that. There's so many different avenues to this story. Or it could be some rogue military group out there, you know, launching things as a threat, saying, hey, look, you know, I don't care if you go to India, we can still reach out and touch you, you know. So there's so many underlying things there. If you get wind of that or get any major updates or whistleblowers on that, I'd love to hear the story.
Sure, sure. Well, one basic way of looking at this is that, number one, war is a sunset industry. And you can say that war is an industry because that's what it's been during the industrial age for the last 300 years. And it's been 13 families known as the Illuminati who have run the war industry for the past 13 years by financing both sides of the wars. And that's the basic formula for making money off of wars. If you look at World War One, I mean, nothing was gained by it. Practically not a single inch of territory lost or gained, except that John D. Rockefeller made $1 trillion in 1918 dollars. You know, and you could say that its sole purpose was to give John D. Rockefeller $1 trillion and his Illuminati buddies, you know, their trillions of dollars. And that was the whole purpose of World War One as an industrial activity. So that right now, war is an industrial, is a sunset industry. And from the extraterrestrial point of view, from the plebeian point of view, or the Alpha Centaurian point of view, or the Sirian point of view, they see this planet as a planet that's already gone over the edge. If they don't intervene, this is a dead planet. This is a planet, you know, whose ecology is going to collapse very shortly, and they have had to have, if what the reports are is true, you know, and again, you've got to say, we have no way of verifying this, but they have had to have a series of really hard-fought meetings of whether or not to set aside the law of non-intervention in order to save this planet. Now, the reports that we've gotten is that they've made a very rare decision to intervene and save our ecology from collapse because of the positive aspects that they see in the human genome. In other words, in our humanity, that we're a very sort of emotional species and, you know, sort of unique in that way. However, the amount of unconsciousness and ego and destructiveness in the human race is probably without parallel at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I've been getting the same information that basically the prime directive or hands-off policy is over. They are going to come in, and I guess the Palladians are the head of it, kind of heading this thing, but they have a backup, you know, of the Syrians, the Orion Council of Light, the Andromedans, you know, several other groups are all involved in this, and that they are going to do a lot of cleanup, and some of it we're not even going to see, but others will see the effect of it. You know, we may not see it actually happening because a lot of the work they do is behind the scenes, and you never really see the big work that they're doing.
Right. Right. So this brings up a slightly different topic, which is that some of the reports are that this collapse may actually bring about quite a culling of our human herd. Is that something that you've been hearing, or?
Yeah, are you talking about the economic collapse?
No, I'm talking about the ecological collapse.
Oh yeah, definitely. If we keep going the way we're going, this civilization is totally unsustainable. And, you know, right now, just with everything, you look at it, we are being attacked on every level. I mean, we've got aspartame, MSG in the food. We've got mercury in the flu vaccinations. You know, we've got these live viruses in there. You've got the chemtrails where they're spraying, you know, aluminum, barium, strontium, you know, and all these other biologicals are coming down in these chemtrails. I mean, on every level, we're being put on timers and, you know, our lifespan is diminishing and, you know, the weak are being culled. And there's no doubt about it that there is a huge movement right now to dumb down and slowly, you know, take out a lot of America and actually capitalize on the whole program, which is just insane. And you know, these movies like What on Earth Are They Spraying? Everybody should get that movie and pass it on. You know, one thing I want to ask you is that the UN actually banned chemtrails, but they're still spraying the hell out of us here, you know, so I guess they didn't get the memo.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. But I guess I was getting to a different point, and this is a point that I was coming to, that there's an elite Illuminati plan for depopulation.
Oh, definitely.
And that seems to be a plan to try and depopulate the people who are aware and who are multidimensional. However, one could say that at the same time, with the ecological collapse, and that seems to be working against and depopulating the people that are non-multidimensional. Is that something that you've looked at? I.e., that's not being carried out by the Illuminati. You could say that that's something that nature's carrying out.
Yeah, definitely. I know that nature has her program, and when she shakes and rattles and rolls and explodes, you know, like these volcanoes and these tsunamis, they definitely have a major culling effect, you know, when they go off. And that's inevitable because we are moving to a new place in the universe that's highly energetically charged. We're getting bombarded by cosmic rays. We're moving close to galactic plane, and there's a very large object coming through too as well. So, you know, and my thing is, who knows? I don't know how much they're going to intervene. You know, I haven't been able to sit in on the meetings lately. I'm not sure how much they're going to intervene. I know they're going to intervene in some cases, and especially there's a lot of protection with those who have chosen to work for the light and service to humanity and the earth by these higher beings. I know they are intervening on that level, but definitely with the technologies here today, there's two agendas playing out. One is nature's awakening healing process, which might be a little violent in some areas, and then you've got the Illuminati's toys, you know, which they can actually simulate a lot of natural events, you know, to you know, create the same effect.
Exactly. So the changes are just going to be huge. Now, one effect that happened, you know, just yet another layer of the onion is that on November 3rd, 2010, in terms of the Mayan calendar, what some scholars like Dr. Carl Joseph Kalaman call the seventh day, which goes from November 3rd, 2010 till October 28th, 2011 started. And according to that view, that means that the singularity at the core of our universe is now really only giving out unity consciousness energy.
Uh-huh.
And anything that's opposed to that, that is in duality, will have a very difficult time surviving and uh-huh. flourishing, and in fact even making it through, which is why so many of these false flag operations, including World War III, is having they're having such a hard time trying to carry it off. So we've got that. If that's correct, we have that kind of as a general backdrop, uh-huh. which is a field effect of very high intense universal unity consciousness energy in our field. That is just not allowing anything that is dualistic to survive.
And then they have it's already underway, but they have a major time compression, I guess, starting in March of this unity
right.
consciousness wave that is going to accelerate everything so fast and so intense.
Exactly.
That, you know, that the tyranny boys are going to basically implode.
Yeah,
you know, they're just out of position for these energies coming in, and they need to start forgiving themselves and others and with the awakening healing process if they want to stay on this planet.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. And so I guess, you know, there's that cross between the future being in our small, sustainable communities and how does that square with all this mega warfare and mega dollar versus world currency and the whole New World Order thing? That is going to be, because supposedly the whole New World Order thing cannot survive because it does not have the integrity to survive in this higher frequency. So it's going to be very interesting to watch over the next several years as the old order implodes and these new arrangements come about. One of the things that the Pleiadians supposedly communicated to Stan Fulham was that they're going to stand at the down in the well of the UN General Assembly and give a world speech in the year 2014, which now would just sounds like it's outlandish. You know, it's a totally crazy idea. But that just indicates how much change could happen between now and the year 2014.
Well, I think in the next year we're going to have extreme changes that, you know, year and a half that everything is going to be different. You know, it's going to be incredible. You know, unfortunately, Alfred, we're out of time. Is there anything, any last words you want to give? Or I know your website's exopolitics.com. Is that the best way to get a hold of you?
Oh, yeah. And it's just that people who are hearing, just keep on looking at the skies, get in tune with the intelligence out there, and I can verify that it's happening all over the world.
Great. And, you know, I think, too, is we need to fill our hearts up with love and joy and bliss and send it out there with the intention of contact and ask for help. You know, just say, come on, guys, you know, we're asking, you know, we're initiating this help, and you'll be surprised what's going to happen, because that's the one thing they asked us to do is say, you need to ask, you know, we need to initiate this help.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We'll have to do it again. Keep me updated.
Oh, great. I just really love the connection with the Iseti and with Mount Adams and with that whole dimensional portal and with the whole Iseti family and with yourself, James. So it's a great privilege for me and an honor to be on this radio program.
And you always have an open door here, you know, whenever you want to come visit. So
thank you.
But anyway, we're going to have to sign off the you know, definitely there's a lot of things moving real fast, and stay focused on love and joy and bliss. Get into your hearts, get out of your mind, and, you know, live according to those universal principles, and things just may turn out a little better than is planned for us. So can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We've got to sign off. Again, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and watch the skies and send them some nice love notes. Have a great evening.